Let's pray. We thank you dearly and emphatically for the love that you have for us in our lives. A love that sees us through so much and gives us strength and hope and peace. And Lord, we thank you today for the chance to learn more about you. And we pray that we do that. And those things that we learn, we ask you, Lord, that they either encourage or challenge us. And anything that's spoken that's not from you, we pray is forgotten. We thank you for all that you are and for your presence and activity in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 12 to 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed these signs that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm fairly certain I start every Palm Sunday sermon off with these lines, which is, I have a love-hate relationship with Palm Sunday. It's such a complex day. It is a day of great rejoicing and a day of great happiness. For the people of Israel and Jerusalem in that day and age, they saw the advent of their future king. What they saw in Jesus was hope. They saw in Jesus was gladness. What they saw in Jesus was an end to the a future end to the rule of Rome. The same people who were so happy that Jesus was coming in were some of the same people who asked for his crucifixion only less than a week later. I mean, it's a difficult day. Because on one hand, the people love them, and on the other hand, that love turns sour real quick. How many people are fans or were fans of Seinfeld? I didn't watch a whole lot of Seinfeld. I know I have three favorite characters in Seinfeld. The guy who gave them the soup. Because I got to say, I see some of that in myself. My kids, if they take more than what I give them, everyone has to eat, so make sure there's enough. You know, that's kind of, I have a weird thing with food, my family tells me. Not only that, the other one is the close talker. Remember the episode with the close talker? The people who, when they talk to you, they invade your personal space. You know, they get this close to you when they talk. But one of the favorites that really gets me thinking on a frequent basis is the yada yada talker. Remember the yada yada? There was a woman who I think Seinfeld was dating at the time, and whenever she would tell stories, they would often go like this. Seinfeld, you know, asked, you're late to this meeting, why are you late or whatever? And she says, "Well, I woke up this morning, I got into a taxi cab, yada yada, I came here late." And she would say yada yada a lot. I woke up this morning, I had a bowl of cereal, yada yada, I made it to work. And then finally, he kind of got irritated with this yada yada and asked her to fill in what she was leaving out. What is this yada yada? And it ends up, yada yada is a lot. You know, she got into a taxi cab, and then another guy got in a taxi cab and robbed the taxi cab and pushed her out of the taxi cab. And, you know, I mean, it was a significant part of the story. I feel like a lot of our lives are with that yada yada. You know, communication's hard, and we take a lot of things for granted. We assume a lot of things. We assume the yada yada. When we meet people in our lives, we don't know what's going on in their lives, and so we fill in the blank ourselves. That's what was happening with her and the yada yada. It left Seinfeld and his friends to fill in their own blank. And they didn't think anything was going on. They just thought that she was odd. Turns out she was going through a lot. We tend to assume the backstories of other people. That's a very dangerous thing to do. You know how I teach my children to communicate? Communication for me is a very important part of life. I do it a lot. Doing it right now. But I understand that as I preach, I am not just preaching one sermon. I'm preaching about 45 different sermons. Because what I say and what I think you hear isn't necessarily what you're hearing. And I know this because when I go back to the back and greet you as you all leave, you tell me, boy, this is what I heard you say, and it's not what I said. Not always. It's not the point that I wanted you to leave with. They're all wonderful. You know, I try to teach about the love of God, about Jesus Christ in our lives, and you get that, but you also get some other things, which I think, I don't remember that. But I appreciate the Holy Spirit working as the Holy Spirit works. I teach my kids this. When someone speaks to you and tells you something, don't listen for just what they say. Also listen for what they mean. And understand that as you're listening for what they mean, that you could be totally wrong about that. And so try to get to know them first. Set up a relationship with them. I say stuff, and my kids listen for what I mean. Children make the best lawyers. Dad, you didn't say that. You didn't say that I had to go to sleep. All you told me was that I had to go up in my room. It's 10 o'clock at night. Elijah, go to bed. I'm in bed. I check in on him at midnight. He's still awake. You didn't tell me how to go to sleep. You just told me that I had to go to bed. Sometimes we have to listen for what they mean and then understand that we could possibly be wrong. You see, I think that we should also take that a step further. That whenever something happens to our lives, we immediately make a snap judgment about it. New job, loss of a job. New child in our lives. New marriage, friendship falls apart. New car, loss of a car. You know, those big things in our lives that sometimes really weighs heavy upon us. And we say things like this is good, or this is bad. We make the snap judgments, we make the calls, and those snap judgments and those calls in our lives often weigh heavy. This is a really good thing that's happening, or this is a really bad thing that's happening. Loss of a job comes to mind. This is an awful thing that's happening. I lost my job. When Jesus was entering the town of Jerusalem, all the people said, this is a good thing. Because they had in their minds exactly what they meant. They defined that moment for themselves. The king is coming. And they had the definition of the king in their minds. Israel would be freed from the tyranny of Rome. We would be made into a nation of ourselves. We will be free because Jesus has come in. What we don't do is we don't often let God define those moments in our lives. We don't let God define for us what's good and what's bad. Loss of a job. That's bad. How many of you have experienced in your life a change that you saw was bad and difficult at the time, but God used it for a very good thing? You ever have that? I've had that. I'll tell you, the wife had to go somewhere so I can talk about her. I tell her this anyway. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a family man my entire life. I knew I wanted to get married. I knew I wanted to have kids. I knew that the kids that I wanted to have, I didn't want to have any girls. I knew all this. I had it all, and I didn't have any. So I don't know. I think God just said, no, you can't handle them. You're right. I won't give you any. I don't know what it was. But when I pictured my wife in my head, a perfect wife, the one person I wanted to marry, she did not look like Stephanie. It wasn't her. She didn't act like Stephanie. It wasn't her. If I would have got the woman that I wanted, I'd be miserable. I know I would, because I'm so happy with who I have. God defines what's good and what's bad in our lives. If we let God, we can be majorly surprised. On this Palm Sunday, that's what it reminds me of. They defined what it meant for Christ to be king, but God's definition of Christ as king was so much bigger, so much more beautiful, and so much more difficult. I pray that as we move forward into our Easter celebration, that whatever happens to our lives, we allow Christ to define it. We allow God to dictate its definition. We don't make snap judgments on what's good or what's bad. We just allow God to use it for God's good in our lives. And we walk faithfully into the unknown, knowing that Christ walks with us. And I thank God for the opportunities that will face our lives where we can do just that.